Our sermon text this morning is from the book of Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because of in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus.
And so we're taking this Sunday to look specifically at justification by faith. And this is what the Reformation really is all about. Again, Reformation Day, October 31st. In 1517, Martin Luther started the Protestant Church. And this morning, what we celebrate is not the protest of the Protestant Church, but we celebrate the solas of the Protestant Church, the foundations of grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone, Scripture alone, and to God be glory alone. These are the foundations, the rocks on which we stand. In pandemics, in crazy elections, in anxiety and fear, and curiosity even about the future, what we stand on in our faith and what Jacob we've just experienced with him are these five solas. This is the gospel. And so again, this morning, what I want to do is be brief and clear and to the point. This is our faith. This is what we hold on to. This is what we stand on. And specifically justification. And we're going to talk about the law, we're going to talk about grace, and what I want you to hear me talk about is salvation, right? So justification, salvation. If you grew up like I did, this is when you got saved, okay? We're talking about justification by faith in Christ. John Calvin said, justification is the fountain from which all other blessings flow. John Bunyan said, indeed, this is one of the greatest mysteries in the world, namely that a righteousness that resides with another person in heaven should justify me, a sinner, on earth. Charles Spurgeon said, any church which puts in the place of justification by faith in Christ another method of salvation is a harlot church. And Martin Luther said it this way, night and day I pondered until I saw the connection between the justice of God and the statement that the just shall live by faith. Then I grasped that the justice of God is that righteousness by which through grace and sheer mercy, God justifies us through faith. Thereupon I felt myself to be reborn, and to have gone through an open door into paradise. He later says, my chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose foot forth and followed thee. This is what we're talking about. Justification, salvation, by faith. By that key. Now I know that at times we're like, really? That's it? Yes. That's it. Not how good you did this week. Not that you didn't get an argument on the way here with somebody. Pat yourself on the back. Not that you did all this stuff. But that Jesus Christ died, did everything right, and you put your faith in him. And you get everything. You get all the blessings and benefits of God. Now, we're going to talk about the law, which Paul, of course, is all through the book of Romans, especially here in Romans 3, and he's emphasizing the importance of the law. However, I think at times we get confused about what the law really is. We think, is the law the civil law? Do I need to drive 55-ish, right? Do I do the right thing? Do I wear my mask when I'm supposed to? Do I not wear my mask? What's the laws here, right? When he's talking about the law, he's talking about the Torah. He's talking about the obedience to God, summed up in the Ten Commandments. And so we'll be talking about the law. Again, there's just such misunderstanding when we talk about the law. Did you know that in the state of Utah, it's against the law to bite someone while you're boxing? Tell that to Mike Tyson, right? In Alabama, it's against the law to play dominoes on Sunday. You can get arrested for that. In New Hampshire, you cannot check into a hotel with a false name and get arrested. In Severance, Colorado, this is my favorite, until 2019, it was illegal to throw a snowball. But they fought really hard for it, and now it's okay, as of 2019. In North Carolina, bingo games can't last more than 5 hours. Now, we laugh and we joke and we're like, that's dumb, right? But there's a story behind each one of these, you can guarantee. But somebody was calling the bingo game. They're like, I'm done here. This is against the law. And then they ran up the flagpole, right? Somebody's kid got hit in the face with a snowball and it was illegal for a while. What's the understanding of the laws that God gives us? Do we misunderstand it? This is what Paul's digging into. And he's saying, yes, we do. And especially in the context here in Romans, because you had Jewish Christians, you had Gentile Christians, and their argument was so often about the law. What's right, what's wrong? What should we do? What should we eat? What should we not eat? What is the law? And Paul is saying, understand the purpose of the law. Two things I want to look at very briefly this morning: faith in the law and faith in Christ. First of all, faith in the law. Look with me here at verse 19 that Matt read for us. He says, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. What is he saying here? If you're going to put your faith in the law, you're bound to every bit of it. 100%. All of the Ten Commandments, all the dietary laws, every law. If that's the route you want to go, you want to trust the law, you got to keep it all. Or, as verse 23 says, you fall short of the glory of God. The first thing that Paul is really pointing out here is that the law demands perfection. That when we put our faith in rules, we put our faith in anything outside of Christ's righteousness, our own righteousness, other things, it's 100%. If you make a 99, you fail. The law demands perfection. Francis Schaeffer talked about this and said that we should put a tape recorder, and this is in the 70s, a tape recorder around our neck, and just listen to our own laws and rules that we make, and then play it back and realize we don't even keep our own rules. We can't keep the law. So what Paul is saying is, give it a shot. Go for it. And what you're going to find is that you'll fail miserably. And it will lead you to misery. The law shows us our sin, and this is the intent of the law. was not for us to keep it perfectly, for it to show us that we can't keep it. Look at verse 19. The whole world may be held accountable to God. So that we can hold it up, and Luther talked about the law being a mirror. Take a look. You ever go out to eat with somebody, you felt like you were on, right? And you had a good meeting, and then you get back, and you got a piece of lettuce in your teeth, and you look in the mirror and see it, and think, oh my gosh, what just happened? The law's a mirror, and it holds everyone accountable, and says we all have fallen short of the glory of God. This past week, I was driving from Nashville to Murfreesboro on I-24 in the fast lane. If you're in the fast lane, what should you be doing? Going fast, thank you. And someone was going 75 in the fast lane. And I was behind them. And I wanted them to move over. I was breaking the law, they were breaking the law. But most of all, they were breaking my law. Right? That condemns us. The law shows us we can't keep it. Now, where does this ultimately start to lead us? To two places. We either start watering it down and saying that that's not that big of a deal. Look, I'm better than that guy, right? Or it leads us to where it led Luther, to depression, anxiety, anger. Luther used to go in and confess his sins so much to the priest that the priest finally told him to stop coming. You're driving me crazy. So what would Luther do? He would go back to his room as a monk and whip himself. Some of us are pretty good at that. Not literally, but we are our own worst enemy when it comes to this. And Luther is saying here that that was what finally freed him. He knew he couldn't do it because there is no salvation in the law. If you're asleep, you just woke up, listen to this. There is no salvation in the law. If you put your faith in what you're doing, if you put your faith in rules, if you put your faith in being a really good person, you will not find salvation. Jesus was really clear. People came to him and said, we casted out demons in your name. Like, we were the best ministers. And what did he say to them? Depart from me, I never knew you. You never trusted me. You never really put your faith in me. We put our faith in Christ and not the law. Why are so many religious people really angry? Why are so many religious people depressed? Why do people cut themselves? What is it that goes on in our hearts here? Perfection, the law. Putting our faith, putting our trust, and just doing the right thing, and that's enough. And it is not. It is not. We can easily put our faith in the works of the law. And let me be a little easier on us here. It's our default. The law is written on our hearts. This is where we go when things get bad. Trust the rules. Be a good rule keeper. And you know what the rules get us to? Away from Jesus. Away from trusting in him. Look into the law and see salvation is not found there. See that this is not where we go. We go to Jesus. Look at verse 21, faith in Christ. Look at verse 21. Now, but and such a, I'm so glad he put it there. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. This word manifest means to shine light, to reveal, to put the spotlight on something. But God has shown us that salvation is not found in the law. Salvation is found in the light of the world, the bright and morning star, the one that came to show us and open our eyes so we could really see. Jesus, the Christ, living in faith in Christ is so radically different than putting our faith in the law. Putting our faith in Christ is sometimes unclear. What does God want us to do? We're not sure. Putting our faith in Christ means that we're going to follow him as he leads. Putting our faith in Christ means daily bread, not annual. Putting our faith in Christ is walking in righteousness that is not our own. Luther described this as an alien righteousness, a righteousness that comes from us, to us, from someone else. And that alien righteousness comes to us through Jesus. Jesus Christ is the one who kept the law perfectly. He did it all right. He did everything perfect. And so we put our faith in him, and guess what? We're with him. His record is now our record. His obedience is now our obedience. Some of us married up, right? You marry into a family, you marry into something that's better than what you had. We were poor, dejected, and he's the king. And guess what happens? When we're in union with him, we have everything the king has. All righteousness now comes from him. All goodness and blessing and approval and obedience comes from him. Approval from God comes apart from the law. And it comes by faith. Faith in Christ. My hope right now is some of you are nervous. Some of you are going, I just don't know about this. This almost sounds too good to be true. You're telling me all I have to do is trust Jesus and I got it all? Yes. So were the Romans. They were nervous, and Paul anticipated that. In Romans 6, he said, shall we sin so that grace may abound? What? By no means. But why did he have to say it? Because that's how good the gospel is. That's how good finding our righteousness in Jesus really is. It starts to bring up questions like, can I just sin all I want? The answer is no. But that should be a question. Because that's how good, that's how much we have because of Christ. We are approved by God freely. You get what you want and you don't have to do anything for it. This is the beauty of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Look at verse 22. The righteousness, the right standing, the blessings of God through faith in Jesus only. Sola. That's it. For all who believe. If you are here this morning and you say, yes, I believe in Jesus, I put my faith in him, you have all the blessings of God. You are righteous before God. You have received the Spirit. He stirs in you obedience. He does this work. He does it through you and in you. You have received this fountain from which all other blessings flow, that was wrestled with for years. And finally, Luther was just really the voice of this. There were so many that went before him that died for this. And finally, Luther got it. And he didn't get it by going out and doing stuff. He got it from studying the scripture. He got it from studying Romans. And finally, saw in Romans 1:16 that the power of God is salvation in the gospel. And how do I get that? Romans 1:17. By faith. It blew him away. He was never the same. Luther did a lot of dumb stuff. He's the one that said, sin boldly and love God. He's the one that was mean to a lot of people. But his heart was set free. And his heart was set free by faith, by justification, by faith. And then he wrote this: long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, would die for me? He got it. He says he was born then. He says he opened the door into paradise then. Because the gospel was that real. Because he was putting his faith in Christ. Does this feel real to you? Does this feel like something? Does it feel like faith? Because let me assure you this morning, you have faith. The question is where you're putting it. Are you putting it in your own works? And what a good person you are, how smart you are, how much money you make, how good your kids are. Or are you putting your faith right now in Jesus? That's where life is found. Put your faith in Christ. Trust him. Draw near to him. Know that he is your life. Many of us are anxious and we're angry and we get behind people in traffic and want them to just get over. Want to flick your lights and honk the horn. A lot of that is our reflex just to go back to the law. Instead of, again this morning, receiving these means of grace, being reminded through the word, being reminded as we come to the table, seeing Jacob baptized, receiving grace again. Your heart doesn't need more law. Your heart needs more grace. Your heart needs more Jesus. And so this morning, as we do celebrate Reformation Day, let's live in this. Let's live in grace and faith in Christ. Let's live in the scripture. Let's live into God be glory alone. He's the one who's to be praised. Let's put our faith in Christ. Again today, and I know some of you are saying, well, I've never done that before. Today's the day of salvation. Repent and believe this. It's true. This is the truth. Some of you are saying, I did it, I've done it, but gosh, I stray so quick. And in my sanctification process, the law becomes everything. Trust the Spirit. Trust the Spirit again to receive grace. Trust the Spirit again to lead you to Christ. To know that what's set before us as heavenly citizens is our glorification. That one day, someday soon, we will be there with all these saints that have gone before us. With Luther. I got a lot of questions for that guy. To celebrate the goodness of this gospel and say with Luther, no condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine, alive in him my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Bold, going and getting the crown and saying, this is mine. Jesus did this for me, and then we'll lay it down at his feet. We in Christ have everything, all the blessings of God. He has freed us. Our chains have fallen off. Our hearts are free. Let us move forward with him and follow him. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you for this good gospel that we can rejoice. Our hearts have been set free. We can know that you have done this. Give us grace and faith to trust you, to move into the beauty of what you have done and what you continue to do in us and what you will do. Thank you for those saints who've gone before us and how you've used them. I just pray for everyone here, Lord, that you would set our hearts free, that you would set our hearts afire again to trust and walk in the gospel, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.